You know, the scripture we've been talking about, let's start in Isaiah 51. See, we're called to walk and to live by faith. We're called to live in this realm. We're not talking about a religious kind of thing you do on a weekend. I want to talk to you about the faith of Abraham. I want to talk to you about what it means to live by faith, how critical it is as a Christian. This is how this should be like breathing to a Christian. This isn't for somebody who's, quote, greatly spiritually developed or someone who's been a Christian for many years. This is what you cut your teeth on as a Christian. This is the baby food of Christianity. Every Christian should learn to live the life of faith. Isaiah 51 tells us this. He said, listen to me, verse 1. You who pursue righteousness, who seek the Lord, look to the rock from which you were cut and to the quarry from which you were hewn. Look to Abraham, your father, to Sarah, your mother, who gave you birth. When I called him, he was just one. And I blessed him and he became many. These terms are mining terms. He's saying, I want you don't look to yourself. Don't look to your past. Don't look to your fears. Don't look to your feelings. Don't look to anything you've experienced around you. Don't look to the opinions of other people. He said, I want you to look to Abraham because you were cut from the same rock. That's a mining term. It literally, not a different rock. There's not the Bible faith of Abraham way up here and then you're down here groveling in the dirt somewhere. You are cut not from a different part hewn out of the ground, not a different rock, not a lower level rock, but the same rock that the faith of Abraham existed in. God said, you're cut from the same rock. That's who you are. You are called to live like Abraham lived. You are called to walk by faith the way Abraham walked by faith. Romans 4:12 told us that we are to follow the steps of that faith of our father Abraham. He is the father of our faith. We are to follow his steps. Here's what you need to understand about the life of faith. And my hope this morning is this, man, this gets in on the inside of you deeply. Walking by faith is a progressive lifestyle. The Bible says God will bless the steps of a righteous man, not the leaps. And sometimes we want to do great things for God, or we want to see our lives changed overnight, so to speak, instead of understanding that the next step for you is what you need to understand, because without the next step, you won't get to the next step. And every step requires believing God. Every step that you take where you're going to do what God says do, fear is going to come to you. Feelings are going to come to you. Circumstance will come to you and push you back. And we are called to follow the faith of this man, Abraham. One of the things you're going to see is we're going to quickly go through some of the circumstances of his life in totality today. We don't have time to go. We're going to miss out on a lot of it. Next week, I'm going to talk to you about the blessing of Abraham. That belongs to you as well. Say it out loud. I have the faith of Abraham. And now say this. The blessing of Abraham belongs to me. And if you have any idea what that really means and how to obtain that by walking with God, this is an incredible way to live. We are called to take steps. Abraham was called by God and God began to give him steps of obedience. Every step that God calls you to in one sense is a test. Now, the Bible says God doesn't tempt us with evil. God doesn't bring evil things in your life to test you. But do understand this. Every time you have a word in Scripture from God or God deals with you about something, there's a test. That is a test in that you will either yield to God and please Him by walking by faith, or your soul will draw back. Faith is a big deal to God. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6 that without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that God is, and listen, and that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. You must believe this as a Christian. That God's a rewarder. Say it out loud. My God's a rewarder. Do you know that's what he said to Abraham? He said, Abraham, I am your reward. He said, I'm your shield. I am your exceeding great reward. Not just reward, not just great. He said, I'm exceeding great reward. God wants to be your exceeding great reward. He said, see, you're not just called to walk in the faith of Abraham. You're called to walk in his blessing. We'll unpack that a little bit next week. But God gave Abraham progressive steps to take. And each step, making the next one, was predicated on the first one being made. And God, faith is a big deal to God. Without it, you don't please him. When Jesus returns, the question he said he would ask is, will I find faith on the earth? Then it shouldn't be rare among Christians. You are cut from this rock. This is who, when you gave your life to Jesus, this is what you were born into. It's like being Italian, being born into pasta. It's just something about it. I thought everybody grew up with ethnic food until I moved and started to travel in the South. And I realized, you know, I'd ask everybody, hey, where are your grandparents from? And I started to get down to Michelle's part of the country. I said, where are your grandparents from? They'd say, Georgia. I said, no, what country? They'd say, well, America. I said, well, then your great-grandparents, Georgia. I thought everybody's, how many of you grew up in ethnic neighborhoods where everybody's grandparents or great-grandparents came from some country other than America? Well, you know, you get in the other parts of the country, people don't do that. I'm cut from an Italian rock. I don't look Swedish. No one's ever come up to me and said, are you Swedish? Never happened. But if people come up to me and say, dude, you're Italian. Can I be really honest with you? I didn't know that I looked Italian. And no one ever told me. One day, this is just a few years ago, Michelle and I were talking, and she said something about me looking like an Italian. And it hit me. It's the first time in my life. I'm not the sharpest thing. I said, you mean like if someone sees me, they go, oh my gosh, that guy looks Italian. She would go, yeah. I'm cut from an Italian rock. You're cut from spiritually the same rock as Abraham. You are called to live this way. Abraham lived a life of progressive faith. And the steps you take today are preparing you for the steps you're going to need to take tomorrow. And your faith, like Abraham's, is going to be progressive. But here's where Christians miss it. All of us miss it so easily. Is we can so easily draw back from taking the next step with God. Let me tell you something as your pastor. In the last 4 weeks particularly, I'll tell you what, there has been such a shift in my heart of grabbing hold of some things that God has put in our heart to do as a church. And I'm telling you, this church is, let me tell you, listen to me, this will be different from here on out. So what do you mean by that? I'm believing God to see a manifestation and operation of the power of His Spirit in these services whenever we have church. And I'm expecting God to do something amazing every time we meet. Why? Because that's who He is. Let me tell you what else I'm believing for. Now, I know we're in summer and crowds go down, but here's the deal. This time next year, I'm believing God that this service will be so full, we'll need to be in two services, and you 9 o'clock people will get your service back. Amen. But let me tell you, I'm not doing it for your 9 o'clock people. I'm believing that because I'm telling you, this is the beginning. I'm telling you, you might as well say, we're just getting started now. I'm believing God. I said, I'm believing God for great things in this job. I mean, great, 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 great things in your life and in the life of the people of this church. These are great days ahead, great days to live. But so often, we don't take the first step and then the next step. Abraham, when God spoke to him initially, he told him, leave the Ur of Chaldees, leave now. He said, and go to a land that I will show you. In Genesis chapter 12, down in verse 4 said, and so Abraham left as the Lord told him. He didn't take a survey. He didn't get 20 opinions. God said it. He did it. Here's a consistency you will see with the faith of Abraham. When God told him to do something, he did it. He didn't think about it. You're cut from this rock. Listen to me. You want to be a person that walks by real faith? When you see something in God's word, when God deals with you about something, you do it. You don't pray about doing it. You don't take a survey about doing it. You don't form a committee about doing it. You simply go do it. God said, leave. Abraham said, I'm gone. He was 75 years old. Left everything he knew. And he didn't even know where he was going. He just took off. Don't you know people said, dude, what are you doing? Where are you going? He said, I don't know. God said, go. Where are you going? I don't know. Why are you going? God said it. But what's on the other side of it? God. God said, let me tell you, son, you obey me. He said, I will lift you. And that's what he said in Isaiah. He said, I found Abraham. He was all by himself. But when I got done with him, his descendants, you can't number. Let me tell you what happens. God may find you alone. God may find you broken. But when he's done with you, you walk in faith. You walk in the grace of God. He will not leave you like he found you. He will lift you on high because you knew his name. This is an incredible way to live. Every Christian should take the next step. Now, we know that the first step for every human being is to give their life to Jesus and to give their life to Christ and know that they're heaven bound. You know the next step for every Christian is to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Every Christian, not every other Christian. So, well, Pastor John, I'm just not a little, I'm just have to be honest with you. I'm an educated man. And I have a little bit of difficulty with that Holy Spirit thing. Because, you see, I'm educated. Just us, okay? Take that diploma or degree, and it can become toilet paper. Anything you raise above God in your life, Paul said, count it but dung. That means poo-poo. Paul had pedigree. He said, I look at all that stuff, and I count it but poo-poo. What he said. You must lay it aside. You see, I remember as a kid, I was raised as a Catholic kid. So I had no idea about anything about the Holy Spirit. I didn't know. Now I say the Holy Spirit, I don't mean divine wind. Remember John Bevere last week? How many of you are here for John Bevere on the Sunday? Yeah, you were. It's Sunday service. Man, how many of you? I enjoyed John Bevere. How many of you enjoyed that? Man, wasn't that good? Oh, by the way, next year, Impartation, John Bevere will be coming back, Keith Moore will be coming back, and Doug Jones, getting all three of them back. Man, it is going to be fun. But listen, as a kid, I didn't have any idea about the Holy Spirit. Now, we did pray as Catholic people. And every time we prayed, every time we would eat, we would pray. And if any of you were raised as I were, or maybe are Catholic, you know how you pray. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And every time we pray, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Bless us, O Lord, in these thy gifts, which we are about to receive from thy bounty, through Christ our Lord, amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, amen. And here's how I really prayed it, to be really honest. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Bless us, O Lord, in these thy gifts, which we are about to receive. What was that? How many of you know what that was? All right, but anyway. So I don't understand. What was that? None of your business. Here's the deal. My mom gives her life to Christ through the Catholic Charismatic Renewal. And starts to walk with God, starts to read her Bible, starts to get, she becomes born again. She no longer is trying to find her salvation in a church, because there is salvation in no church, not the Catholic Church, not the Methodist Church, not the Presbyterian Church, not the Victory Family Church. There is salvation in a man named Jesus. And she found her salvation in the man Jesus, and she began to walk with God. And so my mom, I was about 13, 14 or so when that happened to her. Well, when I was about 16, I'd already given my life to Christ, maybe a year or two before that. But I was about 16 years old or so, and I had developed a boil on my right eye. Now, how many of you are trying to lose weight? You don't have to raise your hand. I'm going to help you, because I'm going to describe a boil, and this will help you with lunch, okay? A boil is a pimple times 1,000. It's nasty. They look like a little volcano on your body, and the stuff that's in there is not lava. It is ugly. And I had bunches of them. In fact, I have them all over I have scars all over my body from them. In fact, the ones on my leg look like bullet holes. So I told my kids growing up, this is fun to do. My kids, when they were little, I'd tell them I was a spy. And I had shorts on. I'd say, well, these are bullet holes. See them? Hey, eyes would get real big. Say, did you lie to your children? Yeah. Had fun like you can't imagine. But anyway, just so you know, they don't believe it anymore. But here's the deal. I'd have a boil after boil after boil. Well, now I have one on my eyeball, my right eye. And it swelled shut. I mean, it looks like a ping pong ball in my eyelid. And I went to the doctor, and he was going to lance it. Told you I'm going to help you with lunch. And drain it. But it wasn't ripe yet, in his words. Missing lunch? There you go. And so he sends me home, gives me pain medication. It's very, very painful. It's like getting hit in the head with a hammer every time your heart beats. It hurts. And so my mom, you know, like a good mom, she's putting hot compresses on it. just over and over again. She's up, it's 1 a.m. or so, midnight, 1 a.m. She's gonna go to bed. She puts on the television for me. And like a good mom, she tries to find something decent to watch. Now you have to remember, this is back before cable. This was in the UHF days. How many of you remember UHF? How many of you know what that is? How many young people don't know what a UHF knob is on a channel, on a television? None of your business. And she found channel 53. Well, I have channel 53 on my cable. Ain't the same thing. There were these round antenna on the back. You'd move it and you, and she got the 53. She found the 700 Club. And she didn't let me. Now, I got to tell you, as a 16-year-old, I wasn't a big fan. And I hear people make fun of the 700 Club. Well, you know, they say, well, God spoke to me and all that. Can I encourage you? Don't make fun of what God does to help people. So that's foolishness. You actually quoted the Bible verse. God said through the foolishness of preaching, he helps people. And the Bible says that the wisdom of God transcends any wisdom of men. And foolishness with God is greater than any wisdom among men. So if you're going to walk with God, you're going to have to humble yourself in his presence. Can I tell you this? And I'm not, please understand this. I'm not against education. I mean this sincerely. It is in this world, it is very important to be educated. And I promise you, I'm paying all kind of money to do that for my kids right now. So I believe in the investment. But as I say to my children, don't you ever listen to a human being. I don't care what, if he has the alphabet on the back of his or her name, it is but dung to you if he contradicts what your God says about your life. Now, don't disparage the person. Don't be rude to anybody. But in your heart, you say dung or poo-poo. Well, that's very rude. It's not rude. It's in the B-I-B-L-E. And I remember this. I mean, it's boil. Hurt. I'm watching the 700 Club. Pat Robertson is preaching along, talking with Ben Kinchlow, and they're praying together. And he stops praying. And I found out later this was a 2-week tape delayed broadcast. And here's what he said. There's a 16-year-old boy watching with a boil on his right eye, and God wants to heal him. And I'm watching. And this, and that's what I did. That's exactly what I said. I said, what? And I'm laying on a couch, and some guy on television is talking to me, and I am just wigged out. I didn't know. I didn't feel anything. I just felt weird. I just thought, okay. Then he went on, I'm in now. Okay. He talks about giving your life to Jesus. I've already done that. Then he said this: if you'd like to be filled with the Holy Spirit, ask God to fill you. That's all he said, and he prayed. So I knew the Holy Spirit was good. I didn't know anything about him. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. In fact, really honest with you, I thought the Holy Spirit was more important than God the Father and God the Son because he got two of them. That's, no one ever taught me that. It was just my mentality as a kid, okay? I no sooner said those words, and all I remember, it felt like, it's hard to describe spiritual things, like someone threw a blanket over me. I find myself praying in another language. And the Bible calls it an unknown tongue. It's not unknown to God. It's unknown to you. It felt like 10 minutes. It could have been longer. Then I fell asleep doing it. Woke up in the morning, and the boil is gone. Now, my mother's here. And he said, well, you're out of your mind. My mother's, well, she's kind of out of her mind, but here's it. She's a good woman. But no, she was there. My whole family was there. It's gone. Now, why did I say that to you? I said this to all that to tell you this. What's the next step for you? What does God have for you? Have you ever been filled with the Holy Spirit yet? So I haven't done that yet. That's your next step. How do I do that? We'll have prayer partners up here at the end of the service. Come up and have them pray for you. You'll leave here filled with the Spirit. So I'm nervous. Don't be nervous. Be nervous about disobedience. Never be nervous about obeying God. So, well, I don't know that I understand. Well, come up. They'll talk to you. You'll understand. Get spirit filled. Go home. Woo! Glory to God. So, I don't know if I should do that yet. You are cut from the same rock. God said to Abraham, leave. He left. Then God tells him this. After he cuts covenant with him, and the covenants are shed in blood. How many of you know we have a new covenant shed in the blood of Jesus? And God, for whatever reason, makes the sign of the old covenant with Abraham, the Abrahamic covenant, that the blood that would be spilled would be circumcision of a male child. So God tells Abraham, he says, Abe, come here. Here's what you're going to do in this covenant thing. You got to go circumcise yourself, boy. Dude, 70-some years old. Now, women, ladies in the building are going, well, you know, praise the Lord. All the men are going, seriously? And then he said, not only you, I want you to get your son Ishmael. I want you to get all the men in your household, all your employees, circumcise them. How'd you like to work for Abraham? Guys, come here. Everyone's in the room. I got to tell you something. Yes, sir? Well, it's going to sound really odd to you, but I got to circumcise you. And they go, well, what's that? And he explains it. And they're like, you got to do what to me? He said, I just did it to myself. The man circumcised himself. Look at Genesis 17 after God told him. Look what it says. On that very day, Abraham did it. On that very day. I don't know about you. If there's everything I'm hesitating on, that's the one. God said, go circumcise yourself. The man went and got him a knife. And you do the math. Thank you, Jesus. And it had to hurt. And he got all his employees together, all his team. And he said, come here. I don't even want to illustrate, but it was, come on. Here's the faith of Abraham. And let's just say, being filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, I've never been Spirit-filled. What do? You come up here at the end, meet with a prayer partner, God will fill you. And here's what you do. Here's all you have to do. You come up to the prayer partner and say, you pray for me, God will fill me. I'll leave here speaking and worshiping God in a wonderful prayer language. So how will I know that? Because God promised that if you ask him, he'll give you the Spirit. He'll give you the power of the Spirit. He'll give you the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Every Christian, once they're born again, should be filled with the Spirit, and then you should grow spiritually. That's our walk. That's our journey. And every step God gives you, you're cut from the same rock. You must make a decision to step into the next thing. God progressively asked Abraham to do things, and Abraham did it. Didn't hesitate. The faith of Abraham is an immediate obedience to God. We don't have time to give you all the things that Abraham did. Here's another one. Well, by and by, Abraham and Sarah, the promise of God isn't coming to pass, and they're bummed out about it. Sarah finally comes to Abraham, said, look, I know God promised he was going to give us a miracle baby. But look, you're an old man. I'm an old woman. Really? Come on. This isn't working. I don't know the reasons. But here's the deal, Abe. Our maid, Hagar, marry her, have a child with her, and we'll take her child and raise that child as our heir. And so Abe said, all right. You see, things aren't working as they think they should, so they're going to have plan B. And plan B we're still living with today, by the way. So Abraham marries Hagar, has a child with her. The child's name is Ishmael. And now Sarah, now the miracle comes. She does conceive and give birth to the miracle child, Isaac. Well, as Isaac's growing up, Ishmael, like any older brother, begins to mock him, begins to tease him. Sarah sees that, and she's furious. She goes to Abraham and said, let me tell you something. This servant woman and her kid will not be in my house any longer, and that boy will not be heir with my son Isaac. Get him out. And the Bible said it grieved Abraham. And he wasn't necessarily going to do it. But then God spoke to him about obeying the words of Sarah. Let me read it to you here in Genesis 21, verse 11. Now, ladies, this is a verse in the Bible where it tells you the husband has to obey the wife. You want to quote this one. Genesis 21, verse 11, the matter distressed Abraham greatly because it concerned his son. But God said to him, do not be so distressed about the boy and your maidservant. Listen to whatever Sarah tells you. There it is right there in the Bible. Just quote that to your husband. The Bible says, listen to whatever I tell you. Ladies, that was a great place to go. That is so awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Anyway, I'm sorry. Okay, well then, never mind. Forget about it. And then, because it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. I will make the son of the maidservant into a nation also. Is that a promise? What did God say is going to happen to the boy? God's going to make a great nation of him because he's also your offspring. Verse 14, four words. Early the next morning. The faith of Abraham. God said it. Early the next morning, what does he do? He gets the boy, gets the woman, puts some water and clothing and food on their back and send them out into, literally, if you read the story, they almost died. The man sent his son away. God asked Abraham to send his son out into the wilderness, out away from any protection, with just enough food to get through the day. But you say, but how can he do such a thing? Because God said, I'll make a great nation of that boy. And Abraham believed God. So he did what God told him to do. It grieved him terribly. His fears, his feelings are screaming. But early, if there's ever a morning to sleep in, early the next morning, he sends his son away. There's going to come a day when God himself will have to send a son. All this is leading up to your salvation and mine. This isn't just some horrible story of God asking ridiculous things. Abraham is soon to be asked to do something even more dramatic with a son. And he sends the boy away. And God did, because he was the offspring of Abraham, make a great nation of him. And the Bible said that those two nations would literally be at war forever. And now that's where you have the Arabs and the Jews. The Arabs came out of Ishmael and the Jews came out of Isaac. And they are still contrary one to another. And they have been for thousands of years. And no president in any administration is going to solve that problem. Because it is a spiritual problem. And there are allegorical teachings throughout. I don't have time to get into it. Because of Abraham's disobedience, there is now this conflict. Because God said, you have a child, I'll make a nation of him. Even in his disobedience, God honored his word. And Abraham did what God told him to do. Now God is about to ask Abraham to do something that is unimaginable. Isaac is now his son. Now, just so you know, if you read throughout your Bible, you'll find out that when Abraham died, Ishmael and Isaac buried him together. There was some reckoning together, but at that point, he did what God told him to do. His fear, his feelings, in fact, the Bible said it grieved him, but he did what God told him to do. Now, God is about to ask something of Abraham that has been so twisted. If you ever watch movies and the way this is portrayed, it shows Abraham responding in a way that the Bible does not say. And God is about to ask Abraham to kill his son Isaac. To kill his own boy. This is wild stuff. God is about to ask him to do the impossible. But you don't get to the point to where you can honor God and trust God and obey God in the impossibles until when God says, okay, now leave, and you leave. And God says, circumcise, and you circumcise. And God says, do this, and you do that. It's progressive. When the service is over, I'd want to obey the Lord. I'd do what God told me to do. Here's the question. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit and you leave the service today instead of coming up here, you failed a test. I'm not judging you for it, but don't make it like it's subjective. When you walk out that door instead of this way and leave filled with the Spirit, which you will if you come up, there's a next step. See, it's so easy to judge people in the Bible. But what about the next step I'm supposed to take, the next step you're supposed to take? If you've never been filled with the Spirit, don't leave here without getting filled with the Spirit. So I just need some time to think about it. Early the next morning, God said, go, and he left. That very same day, he circumcised. That's the faith of Abraham. Listen to me. You are cut from the same rock. Stop acting like someone who's from another family. Stop eating English food if you're Italian. Come on now. No offense. If you're English, we love you. We love you. God bless the queen. God save the queen. All that good stuff. But English people, I've been to England. Your food is horrible. God loves English people, but it ain't because of their food. I don't know. Y'all just need even some salt and pepper. It's some bad stuff. You know, fish and chips aside, that's some bad food. And I'm an Italian, I promise you, I'm not looking for any shepherd pie anytime soon. I never went to my mom and say, Mom, you know, how about making us some shepherd pie? That's some scary stuff. Well, you've never had our shepherd pie, you pitiful thing, you. I'm just having fun with you. All right, look, Genesis 22. Let's get into this. And as we wind up today, I want you to see in Genesis 22 what God asked Abraham to do. I want you to see his response to it. This is incredible. Say it out loud. I'm cut from the same rock. You sure are. We're all cut from the same rock. Genesis chapter 22 and verse 1. And sometime later, God tested Abraham. Now, God never tests with evil. James said that. But every time God speaks to me, every God speaks to you, it's a test. of whether I will walk by faith, faith pleases God, or I will walk by sight and I will draw back. In fact, the Bible said, when I draw back, his soul has no pleasure in me. It doesn't mean he doesn't love me. It just means God's pleasure. He's not pleasured by my response. Sometime later, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and here's what he said, here am I. In other words, I'm ready to go. Then God said, take your son, your only son. Sound familiar? Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain that I will show you. Verse 3, early the next morning. Again, this is the day to sleep in for me. Early the next morning. Early the next morning, Abraham got up. If you read into the way this is portrayed in movies, the way Abraham just, oh, and he struggled. Oh, I don't know what else. Should I do it? Should I do it? He didn't give it a thought. God said to him, sacrifice the boy. I'll tell you where. The next morning, he got them up and off they went. Let's go on reading. Abraham got up and loaded his donkey, took with him two servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him. On the third day, sound familiar? Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. Now listen to this sentence. This is going to show you the faith of Abraham. Say it out loud. I'm cut from the same rock. We will worship, and then, say it out loud, we will come back to you. We will worship. Now, wait a minute. I got to ask you a question. When you kill somebody and burn them up, how's the boy coming back? I want you to see the faith of Abraham. I want you to see that God said to Abraham that this boy will be the offspring in which I will use to bless the world. And I'm going to show you what Hebrews says. Hold your place there. Go over to the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 17. By faith, this is referring now to Abraham's life. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned. Everyone say he reasoned. Here's how most of us reason. Well, what'll happen? What will go wrong if I obey God? Here's what Abraham reasoned. Here's what a man of faith reasons. He reasoned that God could even raise the dead. And so in a manner of speaking, he received Isaac as raised from the dead. How did Abraham obey God? Here's what he did. Practically speaking, he said, God, you told me this boy is going to be my offspring that you will bless the world with. And if I kill him, you have to raise him from the dead. He said, he told his two boys, he said, listen to me. He said, me and the boy are going to go worship. Everyone say worship. I got to tell you, that's not what I call, that would not be my definition of what I'm about to do. Do you know that Abraham called obeying God, even in the impossible, worship? He said, me and the boy are going to go and we're going to worship. And we're going to come back together. We're both coming back. And Abraham reckoned, here's what he reckoned. Here's what he accounted. He did some accounting. He said, God said, if I kill the boy and if I burn him up, God will have to raise him from the dead and then we're coming back. You're cut from the same rock. You're cut from the same rock. You're cut from the same rock. And let me tell you something. It is important that he received that boy raised from the dead because there would come another son that would have to be given. His life would actually be given. And he would also be raised from the dead. The faith of Abraham. Oh, this is so important in the terms of covenant with God. God is looking to do something in the earth through man to redeem mankind. And he found a covenant partner who will, if Abraham is willing to sacrifice his son and receive him as raised from the dead, then God will have a legal right to redeem mankind. Your salvation and my salvation hangs in the balance. Back in Genesis chapter 22. Verse 6. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. So here's a son carrying wood up a hill. And oh, by the way, this hill, most Bible scholars agree that where the Dome of the Rock is where the temple is now in Jerusalem, this is the very spot this happened. And he placed the wood on his son Isaac. He himself, Abraham, carried the fire and the knife. The two of them went on together. Isaac spoke up and said to his father, He said to Abraham, he said, well, Father? And he said, yes, my son. He said, the fire and the wood are here, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? I see, Isaac has seen his father through the years walk with God. Every time God would speak to him, his dad would build an altar and make a memorial. God said this. Son, every time you walk by this, you remember God said it. You remember God said it, because we live our life by what God said. And he said, Daddy, we're going to go build some kind of altar. You're going to worship God. And I understand that. He said, you've got the fire. I'm carrying the wood. But where's the lamb? The boy doesn't know. He's the lamb. And Abraham, look what he says to him. And this is prophetic. Abraham answered and said, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. God himself will provide. God himself will provide. He said, the day will come when God will provide himself as the lamb. Your salvation and mine hangs in the balance. On the other side of these steps of obedience from Abraham's life, on the other side of his faith life, was the salvation of the world, was the salvation of every living human being that would come to Christ. Verse 9, when they reached the place where God had told him about, Abraham built the altar, arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on top of the altar. You remember this about Isaac. Abraham's an old man. Isaac's a kid. He could have ran away from that old man in a heartbeat. But that son willingly let his father lay him on an altar. That would be happening down the road a little bit, wouldn't it? And there's verse 10. Then he reached his hand, took the knife to slay his son. But the angel called out to him and said from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. And here he is. Here I am. In other words, now what? He said, don't lay a hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld your son, your only son. If you look down into verse 17. Well, let's just keep reading. Verse 13, and Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket, he saw a ram caught by his horns. He went over, took the ram, and sacrificed it as a burnt offering in the place of his son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And to this day, it is said, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. And the angel of the Lord called Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of their enemies. And through your offspring, all nations of the earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. I want you to see in the scripture the faith of Abraham on the other side of his obedience was the salvation of the world. And he gave God legal right as he bound his son, as his son carried the wood up the hill, as he went to offer his son as a sacrifice, and he was about to plunge a knife into his son. And not just that, he was about to light the boy on fire. And all the while, the Bible said he had reckoned, he had accounted that while I'm doing this, God will have to raise this boy from the dead, put his body back together, put skin back on him, but we're coming off this mountain together. That's the faith of Abraham, and you're cut from the same rock. Listen to me, you are called to live this way. We are called to live this way as believers. Not this mealy mouth kind of like, well, you never know. No, no, no. You can know what God's going to do. Abraham knew what. He's so convinced of what God's going to do, he's willing, able to kill his son. Because God said, that's the seed. Abraham said, God, you'll raise him up. And now years later, God sends a son. This time, his life will not be spared. He carries the wood up a mountain. And he willingly puts himself on the altar. And he dies. He's buried, and God rose him from the dead. And when he rose him from the dead, he paid the debt in full for your sin and my sin and the fall of man so that we could have eternal life. On the other side of your life of faith, there are consequences. On the other side of my obedience are consequences. And listen to me, on the other side of my disobedience, there are consequences. You see, I know, let me wind it up by sharing this with you. Every step, And I'm just telling you, I know my life, I don't know your life, I'll just share you our stories. But every time God led us to do something in our own life, and certainly in the context of this church, when God led us to come here 20 years ago and start this church with Michelle and I and our little boy Ryan, who was 9 months old when the church started, we didn't know what we were doing. I didn't have a clue about pastoring a church. All I knew is God dealt with us to come start. We didn't even have a place to meet. We're driving, and Michelle said to me one day, said, honey, I feel like we should go to the cinema. Now, churches all over the world now are using movie theaters. At that time, no one that we knew of ever used one. She came, Michelle said, honey, I feel like that's where we should go. Let's go over and see if they'll let us use the cinema to have church. I said, well, all right, let's go. And sure enough, that's where we started. We didn't know what we were doing. Can I tell you this? Abraham made a lot of mistakes, didn't he? I mean, he sold his wife twice for money so they wouldn't kill him, and she was going to have to go have sex with other men. Don't you know that'll mess your marriage up? Won't it? Dude made some bad choices, but he walked with God. And time again, when God would deal with us to go do something, the first time we bought land and we walked on that property and we got out of the car and the Spirit of God fell and we knew by this. I remember the real estate agent who was there that day, who ended up, it was her first sale ever, and she actually gave the commission back to the church. And periodically she comes to the church here. Her son comes here now. And here's the deal. Here's what we said to her. I looked at Michelle. She looked at me. We've walked with God and together long enough. We didn't have to have a 20-minute conversation. We knew. We looked at her and said, our church is going to buy this. She said, wonderful. She didn't know we didn't have any money. Yeah. No, you don't have to understand. When I say any money, we have any money. We got a really good deal on the property for the church. But it doesn't matter if it's a good deal if you don't have any money. I remember sitting down in front of a banker from a certain local bank. And here's what he said. He laughed. I showed him what we're wanting to do. He literally laughed at me. He said, son, you can't do this. You guys have no track record. No one's going to loan you money. I said, sir, I said, please don't take this wrong, but you mark this down. Someday, I promise you, whoever works with us now, someday, millions and tens of millions of dollars will run through that bank. He just looked at me like I was out of my mind, and it's come to pass. And that day when we started, there were three of us. We had nothing and no one. And today you're sitting in a $30 million campus 20 years later. Let me tell you something about walking with God. He doesn't lead perfect people. He needs obedient people who will just trust God. And you are cut from the same rock. And there are things God has in your life that He wants you to do. And it matters if you do them. It matters if you yield to God. It matters if you walk this way or that way today if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. It matters. And we'll talk more of this coming up. I got so much stuff rolling in my heart. Next series about hearing from God. I want to teach you how to hear from God. I want to teach you about how to live the Spirit-filled life after that. Say, what's next? I don't know. I just wish we could start right now. Round two, but I can't. But there's so much coming. 300 churches are going to be helped. This Monday, I'll be meeting with 30 pastors. And we're going to be serving these pastors here. They're coming here tomorrow. We are serving churches, and I'm telling you, it's starting to explode. We are going to, I've talked to you about mentoring the next generation. I put so much boundaries and narrowness to that. God made it so clear to me, said, son, you need to start a full-fledged Bible school. But see, I want to narrow it. I don't want it to be hard. I don't want it to, Lord, that's too big. And no. It matters that we obey God. So what's that all going to look like? I don't know. I'm just walking. But I can tell you this, when we're done on the other side of it, He will have found us as one and then we'll be many. What's on the other side of your obedience? If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, what's on the other side of you walking that way or this way today? So what if there's not enough people to pray for me and I have to wait 5 minutes? Really? 5 minutes is what you're going to, 5 minutes? And by the way, what's a big deal? Because you have to wait in the parking lot anyway. Till we build that other road, we only need about 180 more thousand. We can build the other road, get you out even quicker. Hallelujah. But here's the deal. You have to make decisions every day. Which way will you go? Let me pray over you today. I want to pray and believe God. How many of you are ready right now to see God do something in this room? Right now, right now, right now. Let's pray together and believe God. Father, I thank you. You are the God who is ever present. You are the God that heals. You are a God who is an ever present help in times of trouble. And Father, I thank you for every person in this room that has a need. If you're here today and you need healing in your body, right where you're seated, heads bowed, eyes closed, you need healing in your body. Lift your hand real high. Just lift it up real high. Okay, put it right back down. Are you ready to receive from God right now? No, I'm asking a question. Are you ready to receive the healing power of God in your body right now and expect to receive it? Are you ready right now? Well, I want to pray for you, and I'm expecting the healing power of God to sweep this room and do a healing in your body and touch you. He's the same, Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible said when he arose, he arose with healing in his wings. Let me pray for you right now. I pray for every person under the sound of my voice. Father, for every person that has need of healing in their body, I pray right now that the healing power of God flows into their body. I rebuke any sickness in their body, any disease in their body in the name of Jesus. I pray the healing power of God to sweep this room. Lord, I pray for instantaneous works of supernatural healing that you do to your glory across this room. Thank you, Lord, for your healing power to sweep this room right now. I worship you. I worship you for that. I thank you for that. Thank you for that, Lord. If you were one of those people, then right now in your heart, just begin to thank him. Begin to thank him for it. Begin to thank him for it. Father, I thank you for that healing power that flows into people's bodies. Thank you for that. Oh, I worship you. I worship you. Lord, I worship you. I worship you. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, my Father. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for that. I worship you. Heads remaining bowed, eyes closed. If you're here this morning, you don't know Christ as the Lord of your life. If you were to draw your final breath, you don't know where you'd spend for your forever. Jesus said there's a heaven. Jesus said there's a hell. When we die, we go to one or the other. And it's only by accepting Christ do you get eternal life. No church can make you a Christian, including this one. No church sacrament, including this one. Only by accepting Christ. With every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you've never given your life to the one who gave his life for you, I want to pray for you right where you're seated. With every head bowed, every eye closed, say, Pastor, please include me in that prayer to make Jesus the Lord of my life, and I'll pray for you right where you're seated. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, right where you're seated. Would you lift your hand, and I'll include you in that prayer. Do it right now. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You've not yet, I don't know that I'd give my life to Christ. Pastor, pray for me. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you, hon. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. If you raised your hand, or you should have, pray this out loud where you hear it. Christ will come into your heart. He'll never leave you, never forsake you. Pray it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name, and I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin debt. I open the door of my heart and life, and Jesus, I invite you in. I receive you now to be my Savior, Lord, and King. Thank you for coming. I am now a child of God, and my sin is washed away. I am heaven bound, and I confess boldly, Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen. Give him a hand, would you? God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray you are blessed by God's word. For additional teachings, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.